Thank you, sir. Came all the way across the river. Back in the day, that might have been a chore. That way it was the last few. The weather getting here a bunch of years ago, probably, I want to get that out of my way, actually, would have been a little bit different. Okay, didn't really expect to be here. I did after last Sunday because Pastor Mark, you know, he's still not feeling well, but he is improving. Amen. And we're believing that for him and Jada and their family. And so I got to spend time this week thinking about what we talked about last week, and it was really good because I felt like God's plan is perfect. Romans 8:28, all things work together for good for those who are called according to Him. Amen. And so today, there's part of that plan still ready, I think, that we need to hear. I needed to hear it. I dug into the Word, and really last week there was some of that that went a different direction. We had a lot of had the baptism and things going on. There was a lot on all of our hearts last week, and I felt like we went a little different direction than my Word. I mean, it was the Word, but it's also, there was more there. And I'm just thankful today that God is good and that He, that His Word's good, because I don't really have that much to say it's that good. I've learned that, but God's stuff is so good. Oh my gosh, His Word is so good. I used to think I could say something good, but really we have to be led by what God gives us, amen, and let Him speak to us today in Jesus' name, because He wants to every day. Wow. The thing we have to concede, that I had to concede, and one of my biggest steps of humbling myself and following God, was that He's available all the time. He's not only available all the time, He's waiting on us all the time. It is a finished work, it's a completed work, and it's done. And He's just waiting for us to tap into the victory that we have in Jesus' name and the salvation. Whew. My heart's going to well up today, and it has been for about the last month, as God's been pouring a lot into me lately, and I've been seeking Him. And so today I pray it comes out right, and I pray it all be about God. Amen. In Jesus' name. So let's pray. Father God, I come to You, Lord. I thank You for this Word. I thank You for everyone that's here. God, I thank You, Lord, for Your grace. Oh, my goodness. I thank You for Your grace, God, Your mercy, and God, Your plan in our lives, that if we seek You, Father, You can redeem and restore. You can build us up, Father, and You can bring us great victory in life. And the victory is about Your Word and who You are, not about who we are. So, Father, we just humble ourselves today. I pray over Pastor Mark and Jada and their family. God, I thank You that today, God, healing's taking place all over this world, God. And, Lord, You showed in this, when we spent time together, that it's time for the church, for Your church to stand up in Jesus' name and be ready to go into battle. And, Father, I thank You that it's coming, Lord, that the power of God would rest upon Your people today, God, that You would open the hearts and minds of everyone here. You would open up my heart and mind to receive from You today. And, God, it's going to flow through from Your kingdom, right from Your throne room today, God. I pray that over Your people today, that we can receive Your Word, and that, God, it cannot come back void. And today we leave here with a plan for this next year and a plan for every day. In Jesus' name, amen. Wow, I had to conclude one time. This is gonna be good, guys. I don't know why. I just really feel prayed up, and what I feel is that we have to start proclaiming who God really is, and have courage right now in Jesus' name. We need to stand up as the body of Christ, stick behind His Word, and go forward with the power and authority that we have in Jesus' name, and not look back. The problem is the world has done everything it can to get us to look at what's wrong instead of looking at what's right. And what God has showed me in my own life is, Mark, we have to stop that. Amen. And so there's lots of messages. There's lots of times. God works in seasons. He gives authority. There's a time to mourn. There's a time to laugh. There's a time to cry. There's a time for everything under the sun that God created. But right now what God has showed me, it's time to mount up and be ready to go to battle. In Jesus' name, as Christians, that it's time to mount up and go into battle. It's so funny, this morning I'm going to tell it because Luke was talking about it. There's certain songs we sing about being empowered, and when we mourn sometimes, there's songs like, it is well with my soul, and it is well with my soul with God. But Luke, we were talking this morning, Luke goes, we do it as well today, and I'm like, no, we're not going to do that today, because today with what I feel like God is saying, even though it's always well with God, I'm going to make it funny here. But He said, with God's people and where we're going, it's really not well. It's not well. Okay, what you understand what I'm saying? So we're kind of twisting that song a little bit. It is not well that we are not well enough to go forward with the power and authority that God gave us in Jesus' name. So today we have to stand upon His promises, and it's just a different season. And some people, it is a time to mourn. Some people, it is a time to cry and a time. But as the overall church, the Big C, I feel like that it's time to mount up, and it's time to be ready to go to battle. And when you do that, the front line, the enemy wants to stand up and fight back. But I also tell you that it has no power and it has no authority in Jesus' name. And right at first, it might look like a battle, but it's really not, guys. It's already been won. Woo! Jesus has already won this battle. He's won it over my life and yours, as long as you know Jesus as your Savior. And today, I don't want to leave this out. If you do not know salvation, today's the day of salvation. God is going to do a work. Somebody listening online, somebody here is going to be saved today in Jesus' name, and somebody's going to start walking in the fullness of the victory that God brought to you already. Wow. That's what He calls me to do. Mark, you've been a little distant from me. God does this to me. I'm going to tell off. He'll put me on the bench at times and fill me up. My family's my highest priority, whether I minister or not. Me in ministry is different than me, my relationship with God. My relationship with my wife, my relationship with my children. And at times, it's, Mark, fill up and take care. Make sure that they get God. Make sure that they are who your highest priority is, Mark. And only when that is in place and that authority and things fall into my life does then He release me to do ministry, because ministry is different than my responsibility. Amen. And it's time right now that we all understand that God's about authority, and He placed me in authority with this family first to take care of that. Someone needed to hear that today. It doesn't always have to be. I used to think, God, I'm going out of ministry and I can't leave my family back there. And so a lot of times it's just about being prepared, listening to God, and waiting for Him to put you on assignment. So God's put me on assignment for a few days here, and He's got more assignments for me in the future. I don't know what they are, and it doesn't really matter. I had to deal with this one time too. If it's just for one, I wanted to speak to 1,000 people, and God just said, Mark, what if I just send you one? What if I just send you a baseball team? What if I just send you a bunch of young men that need God? What if I just send you one, Mark? Because at some point, you have to surrender, and it's not about you, okay? And I always go down that because I have to speak from my heart. At some point, I have to say, you know, and this is the thing I finally had to get clear on, from all my coaching and all my past and everything I've ever done and wanting to win and all this, at the end of the day, what happens is the relationship that the player has with me and what they see, and if I can show them God, beats every trophy and every victory that I'll ever win. Amen. But you know what? God showed me that that's a great teaching ground to learn how to battle in life, how to fail and succeed, and how to put the word into young men, because they're going to face trials the same way that they will when they become husbands and fathers, that are real to them on the battlefield. And on the playing court and in the game. And what we're able to do through the Word is show them how to develop the things that it's going to take to be a husband and a father. Woo! And we got to utilize that, guys. If you're in the workplace, you have a workplace, you have a ministry, the first one's in your home. God would tell us that today. The first one's right inside your own doors. The second one is you're in your workplace and what you're doing. And if He calls you into bigger ministry or outside of that, that's great too. But at times the world likes to push back, and that's what we've been dealing with. The big church has, okay? All right, so let's get into this, and I'm going to move forward because I've got a lot today, and we may not get into much of it, but we're going to be led today, okay? And let's follow God's word, and let's hear what He wants to tell us, because I know there's value in it, because His word has value always, okay? And the problem, now bear with me as we go through the word today. What happens is, it just doesn't stop. And when you start preparing this morning, it was getting so big and going down so much, and God was unloading so much. I'm like, God, there's just no way. I can't preach all this, okay? So we're going to go with where God led me from last week about seeking God. We're going to refresh that real quick and then run down what that really means a little deeper today by His word, so we'll learn something, okay? So we're going to go to Jeremiah 29:11. And we talked about this last week about, we always read the first part, but there's a part that we play in this. So let's read this. For I know the thoughts that I think towards you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. That's what God's telling us. But then there's a part that we play in this. Then you will call upon me. Whew. That's our part, guys. We leave that out. And go and pray to me, and I will listen to you. Okay? And you will seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart. I'm just going to stop right there. Carrie, take that down for just a minute. Because what I want to do is, what does all my heart, all your heart mean? This is the big deal that we get. I'm going to seek you for about 5 minutes here, God, and then I'll come back and visit you here in a day or two or next week. You know, this is the difference. God says when you seek me, you will find me, but you're going to have to seek me with all your heart. Which the word today would be with us, would be extended, would be extending ourselves, okay? Extended effort. The times that I've seen God in my life, I had to do something that was extensive. Because what happened then was he was recognized as faith then. It wasn't just thrown out there as a prayer for 5 minutes and went right back to the same junk I was dealing with or fall back into the same patterns in life that I was in. We looked last week about fervently seeking God, about extended effort. The times of my life, we talked about Grace's testimony when she was born last week, excuse me, that we had to do something. It was extended effort because it got to the point that I can't do this. Woo! That's why my trial's good, guys. If your trial will get you to a place that says, I can't do this, but you can, and you'll get out of his way, which we don't do, and we let him go do what we need him to do. But how do we get there unless we have a trial? Oh, I don't like trials. Oh, but what if I told you the trial potentially is your greatest victory? Because the victory that we obtain, that's my victory, can only be from him. And you know when I have to stop sometimes and recognize it is when I'm miserable. Oh. So you know what I learned to do? Eventually what happens is you keep digging, we keep seeking God. You need to get to a place, as we all do, and I've got to flesh this out of myself all the time. I need to get to a place that it's not about me ever. And when I did that, I fell in love with people. Wow, it was hard for me to quit loving myself to the point that I could love somebody else. That was pretty selfish. I think we all deal with that, right? Okay. Identify the problem. We're going to change our thinking. Remember we talked about that last week. We're going to change our thinking. So, question, what are you seeking? I'm going to look at 1 John 2, 15 through 17. And I do, you know, we go back to the garden when Adam and Eve ate of the fruit. God said, the knowledge of good and evil. You will know the knowledge of good and evil. And then Satan came in, and they ate of the fruit that God told them not to, okay, lest you surely die. This is a spiritual death, guys, at this point. Because what had happened is it had separated them because they didn't follow God's word. Amen? And here's what entered in. Do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. I'm going to stop right there. What are the things you're seeking? Whew. The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. Tell me we all don't do it. We all do it, and America's horrible about it because America will dangle everything in front of us constantly. That makes us seek those things, whether we know it or not. I just want something better. I can have a car that gets me where I want to go, but I got to have a better one when they show me a picture of it. Amen? No matter what we do, we chase the pride of life. Okay, and America is an incredibly prideful nation, and we have a lot of people, including us, that seek the wrong things. At that point in time, God knew that it's either going to be him or the world at this point. You see what I'm getting at? And that's why we need Jesus was the advocate, because it's going to continue to test us, continue to tempt us. I need a Savior yesterday, today, and forever. I continually need God to save me, but I don't need him to go back to the cross. It's finished. What we have to do is quit trying to play the game again. We talked about last week. God's already won the game. We want to reschedule it. Jesus, go back to the cross just so I make sure I'm saved. Isn't that funny? We play the game one time, and it's over. The world has doubled down. I put 10 times. Is it 100 times? How many hours do we spend on our phone engaging in the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life? Was I better off when I didn't have the internet or didn't have power, and it was me and my children and my wife? Wow. Can we even sit in a room right now when we lose electricity and stand each other? Wow. Thank God that we went through COVID and we had to be together for 14 days. And we enjoyed it. We ate out. I cooked a lot of food, gained a lot of weight. We did a lot of that kind of stuff. But in reality, I was thankful that we knew God. And I looked at the survey, 4% increase in the depression and the anxiety. The only ones that had gained a better place were people that were Christians that had been going to church on a regular basis. If you look at everybody else, the depression, all the rates of everything that went down, when they did the survey, they found out that only people that consistently were in church and following God actually increased in their well-being. Woo! So isolation has got to be, it's one of those things, okay? We have to watch. Okay, because for me it was actually really good. I sat around griped about I can't play a game or we can't go do something. Well, I got to sit there and talk with my kids. I got to have every meal, and we eat at home a lot. I mean, we eat every meal and sit down and pray and talk, I mean, if we can, every day. Thank God that we did that. That was an important thing for us. Okay, so I'm going to go to James 3:16. This is the one that gets me, guys, and I preach on this all the time. Every time I travel or do something, it just jumps out at me, and it's so true. For where envy and self-seeking exist, confusion and every evil thing are there. Woo! How confused is this world we're living in right now? And how much evil is running rampant. Every evil thing. So I'll tell you what the root of that is. Envy and self-seeking through the levels of government and beyond. So what the Bible tells me is when there's envy and self-seeking, I can understand confusion. So every time I see confusion and every evil thing, I look for envy and pride. Wow. And we have to understand that we can stop that. That was the pride. That's why they ate the fruit. That's the fall of Satan. And of Lucifer, and I had that in here, but we're going to skip past that. Okay, so now that we know what we're fighting, I want to give us a practical approach and talk about being conformed right quick. I'm going to go to Romans 2:12. It's the same one we did last week. Now I'm going to move into what I feel like God was expanding upon for this week. Romans 2:12 says, "And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove that is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." So I got to renew my mind every day. So one of the things that we did when we really started seeking God, when I was on my face and I don't have anybody to turn to but God, thank God it happened, was I was seeking the Word, I was seeking prayer, and I was with my wife that her and I together got to do that. And thank God that I was looking for the perfect will of God, because my plan doesn't work, and it never will, guys. And if you sit there and you can honestly tell me that you don't try to get over there and put your own plan in place, well, then you're a lot better than I am, because I think we all deal with trouble about, I'll fix it, God. How many try to fix it? Okay, and I'm not saying we don't try, because what I learned with God is I'm going to start my car, and I'm going to drive, and I'm going to let him steer me, because sitting back and sitting down is not what he wants from us. And what we're all doing as a country and a people is we're just sitting back, just taking the enemy upon us, and we're just looking backwards, and we're just literally, we're doing this. If we were in battle, we're just backing up. And I firmly heard from the Lord when I put this message together, we're fixing to get on our horses and we're going to ride this thing into battle as Christians in Jesus' name. And he's leading the way, guys. Woo! And he wants to lead us into the victory that we already have. But it's going to be up to us to stand upon our feet, listen to the Word, pray, seek God, worship God, and get in a place that we're empowered so that we can go forward and do what God's called us to do. Man. Okay, so conform means to behave according to socially acceptable conventions and standards. The pressure to conform. Stay at home. Don't go anywhere. You know, and the pressure to conform right now is extraordinary. Amen? But if we stick with Romans 2:12 and don't be conformed to this world, find out what's good and acceptable to God and follow that. It's all in here. Okay? Now I'm gonna laugh with you for a minute. So how do we renew our mind? There's a 24-hour day. I sleep 8 hours, which I don't. If you sleep 8 hours, you're better than I am. The kids do. Not some of them don't. You sleep 8 hours. Carrie and I have to have 30 minutes of coffee. Okay? And then I can actually think or process. Maybe an hour worth of coffee or two. Okay? I get ready for an hour. I actually averaged male and females together. Because, guys, I'm 5 minutes, okay? And, excuse me, I'm 30 minutes and Carrie's 30 minutes. Let me back up. I better say that different. Going to work, we go to work 8 to 10 hours. We eat three meals. It takes an hour. Television, texting, Facebook, housework, yard work. I want to do all those things. I love yard work and doing stuff. And I look into that and I'm like, oh, where's the time for God at? When all our time is wrapped in the world that's dominating by renewing our mind of the enemy's schemes, how can we conform to God's plan and renew our mind to his foundation? Wow. Tough, isn't it? Okay, 2 Corinthians 10, 4. I want to read 4 through 6, I believe. For the weapon of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for pulling down strongholds, casting down arguments and everything that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ and being ready to punish all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. What I found out is when I started getting more of God, I wanted to punish my own disobedience. It was there because I realized I was wrong. Things I'm thinking, as you get closer to God, he'll start revealing the things in you that you want to, that's not right. And you'll start giving him part of that and you want to replace that with part of God. And so one of the things we have to do when we are exposed to ourselves and our difficulties. The first day I was saved, guys, I didn't know how many things I had wrong. This is about discipleship. The problem is we get to salvation and say, good luck, too many times in the church. We get to decide, we got to go discipleship. And me and Pastor Mark and I talk about this all the time. Being baptized and being saved is step one. And the rest of my life, I'm going to walk out this salvation and find out what is the good and acceptable will of God and begin to transform my life. And as I've done that, I've been empowered. I've been, you know, it's been amazing, redeemed, restored, and I love God so much now. I'm like, why would I do it any other way? But I also mess up along that way because the world takes its shots at me just like it does all of us. But I'm going to find out as I grow with God, it tells me that when I was saved, I didn't know it all. Wow. All I knew at that point was now I'm going to start walking out this word and I'm going to find out what's in it for me and just how much God has for me because he has a perfect will and plan for each one of you. And he has one for me. And I've been finding it and I don't believe he's done yet. As I get older, I think God can't use me anymore. Yes, he can. He's not done using any of us here today. I'll promise you that. He's got a work for all of us to do. Okay. So I'm just going to give you a practical approach. It's going to be a little different word today. There's four things. I'm going to give testimony. I'm going to get into the word. I'm going to tell you how I think. If you want to seek God the way we talked about last week, here is the four things that he gives us. It's worship, prayer, the word, and find a Bible-based church that'll teach you along the way. If you'll seek those four things, God has a plan for you, okay? Okay, so I'm going to go to John 4, 23 through 25. This is about worship. And we worship and we only think about, I'm probably only going to go here because I got way too much to cover today. When we worship, we think it's only about singing to God. But we think of worship, that's the worship team. Worship's a whole different thing. I worship God. If you want to worship God, it means all my aspects. My tithing is worshiping God. My obedience to be here is worshiping God. I am honoring God by being here, that he is important in my life. So let's not get confused about what worship is. Okay, I'm going to read this in John, and we pray this all the time. It's John chapter 4, 23 through 25, I hope. I might have got that wrong. Is that it? There we go. But the hour is coming, and now is, when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth. For the Father is seeking such to worship him. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship him in spirit and truth. So, spirit and truth is how I have to worship God. Okay, so I'm going to go on. The object of our worship is Jesus Christ. He demonstrated his love for us while we were still unbelievers by dying on the cross to provide us the gift of everlasting life. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Whoever believed in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. At that point in John 3:16, I became a worshiper of God when I found out that he was right and that he could redeem and restore me and he could use me and he could take care of my family from now on until eternity. And here's the deal. we need to believe it. If we believe it, then we have victory today, and we have to continue to seek him and go forward. He's asking all of us to infiltrate, if you will. Is that a good word? Infiltrate the world around us. Really. And in whatever way that means. If it means, if God tomorrow says, Mark, stop everything and do this, and that's what I'll do. I've done it several times, just changing whatever God asked me to do because I found out, man, my own plan's not very good. Okay. 1 John 4:19. Can we get that one? We love him because he first loved us. Woo! Got to remember that. We're not looking for him. He already loved us. I know you know that. Tithe is worship. Obedience is worship. Going to church is worship. Fasting is worship. Prayer is worship. Reading the word is worship. Now I'm going to tell you something. When you do anything, here's the prophetic word that God gave me this week. When you do anything, you're either worshiping the world or you're worshiping God. Anything you do is worshiping one or the other. We worship the phone. We worship sports. We worship the pride. We worship how good I look and who my this is and how that is. So when we get up, you're only two options. And it'll never change, you guys. And what, you know, I'm just going to say this. Government would want you to worship government. Or somebody that'll write you a check. Or somebody have you do something else. I'm just saying. And I'm not saying government's all bad, because it's not. We have to have government and authority. But I will tell you that when I get up every morning, most mornings, ask yourself the question. Most morning when you get up and you go through your day, do you worship the world or do you worship God? I know it's convicting and it's a heavy word, but it's true, isn't it? Wow, it is so true. And you know what, God with me, though, I just need a tiny step. There he is. He'll meet me every time, guys. He's never not. If I've hit my knees and really sought God in spirit and truth, if I really sought his truth and not my own, don't give me this about your truth that you hear in the world today. There is no other truth, guys. You talk about the biggest false the world's putting on people. You go forward and know your own truth. There is no your own truth. There is only one truth, and it's God's truth. Amen? And we have to either conform and get up and transform to that and worship that, or we worship this junk that we're getting fed every day. And it's coming in buckets. We are getting fed by the enemy in buckets. So I'm trying to identify it. Let us recognize what our opportunities are in God and then start seeking it. Because here's what will tell you this. I'm going to stop this because I feel this. Somebody's sitting there going, I mean, I really should probably give that up. And really, I really like doing this. And I really like doing that. Here's what I'll tell you. God's better than all that. We don't believe it sometimes, but he is. Wow. There's nothing I've ever done that can touch knowing and seeing the perfect love of God. There's nothing that'll touch it. Worship, acknowledgement of, it's acknowledgement of worthiness. That's where worship came from. We're acknowledging to hear during worship that he is good. Amen. All the time. Wow. Okay, so prayer. Now I'm going to give you a little analogy real quick. I want to go to prayer, and then I'll move through because there's just no way I can get to all that. No, I don't want to throw those slides up. Do you have those slides? You don't have, okay, never mind. I don't want to go. Let's not go there at all. I just had a little slide. I had a couple slides that said, there it is. Look how good my wife just pulled it off right there. Okay, spiritual health meter. Mine's pretty good right now because I've just been seeking God for the last 2 weeks and preaching because Pastor Moore, because I knew I was put on assignment. I would say I'm over there in the fair, you know, whenever I'm out there fighting the battles every day and about around a bunch of kids and a bunch of the world, it's hard for me to stay on the excellent side of the excellent meter there. Is anybody else with me? But I've been there. I've been full needle at times. Woo, and I feel that power in that, and I want that all the time. The problem, it'll drain you too. It'll drain you in a good way. Get drained when you get to dump out what God's putting in you. Okay, go to the next one. Is there another one? Okay, so I thought this was funny. Defect rate per week. Actual number of defects. I don't know. This was some meter of some machine I found online. I thought it was funny. I had 9 defects last week. You know, I just put that. This just came up. But, I mean, is it not true? Where's my defects? Where's my meters at? I love to do little visual aids because it's kind of funny for us to all think about. But in reality, man, I can fly all. I can get in deals coaching when – we can't do anything right. The umpires can't do anything right. And nothing's going well. That's the only analogy I use because it's not real life. So I can use it all the time. But and I get over there where I have multiple defects in a week whenever I'm trying to coach and deal with the world. You do it in the workplace. You deal with people. If you deal with people, I mean, sooner or later, I mean, you have lots of defects. But you know what I've learned? The closer I am to God, the more I love people and the less mistakes I actually do make. You can strive to be perfect. The problem is there's people in the church that would tell you, well, if you're saved, you should be perfect. Oh, then you're just taking a slap at the grace of God in Jesus' name. Because if I could have done it, what I'm saying is, Jesus, I didn't need you. We got to be careful with that, don't we? I need Jesus every day. Okay. Okay, so we know the Lord's Prayer. And I'm going to read this because there's two more parts to this, and I'm not going to go into the other scriptures today. We're just going to leave with this. The difference between spirit and truth and flesh. And I was going, God, give me an analogy of how we do this. I wrote this in one of my books a long time ago, but I'm going to get into this prayer, and I'll just say it, and you all know the prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors, our trespasses. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. That's how we were taught to pray. And I broke this down. I analyze it because I love this. So if worship's one of them, the next one we go over to is prayer, my prayer life. So we started praying. I'm telling you, this practically is to help you. So start praying with these. The things that are in the Lord's Prayer are what's relevant. God was giving us a message of how to pray. Okay, so as I do that, for if you forgive men their trespass, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. So in the way that God told us to pray, the first thing he talked about was forgiveness. Well, that was hard for me. Because you know what I ran around and started forgiving everybody and loving God and forgiving everybody else? You know who I forgot to forgive? It took me a long time to forgive me. Wow. And then finally I said, God, you love me that much? Yes, Mark, I do. So you want me to preach like I really am saved? Amen. So he said, yeah, go forward and speak it with power and authority, and I've got your back, Mark, because to the death, no matter what I ask you to do, I've got your back because I know I have eternal victory in Jesus' name. And it took me a while to understand to forgive myself. Whew. All right. Okay, so here's the problem. When we pray, we talk about that prayer. I'm going to come back to it. The problem that we as humans have in our flesh is that we are not in the spiritual frame of heart and mind when we pray the prayer so that God can move based on his word. That is praying in the spirit, yoked up with Jesus. Because when I get over there in the spirit that God gave me inside of me and I operate out of that part of me, now I'm praying to him in spirit and in truth. Amen. Because the problem is we go through life focused on everything else and we start praying out of my own heart and mind. And my prayer's coming about somebody that's not seeking God, that's seeking the world every day, and now I'm throwing up a prayer that doesn't line up with the spirit and truth. Wow. He gave me that revelation. I thought, Lord, you're good. Now I wrote this and I thought, whoo, if God is not Lord to us, I believe this is how God often hears the Lord's Prayer. Someone do, it's not funny, but this is going to speak to you. If my heart is not in line with God, our Father who art in heaven, selfish be my ways. Your kingdom come, my will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Doesn't matter what others think, it's about me. Give us this day our daily bread. Is God hearing it this way? Give us this day our daily bread. I have not followed your word to deserve anything to be blessed. And I haven't forgiven anybody today. Forgive us our trespasses. I have no intention of forgiving others of theirs. I am always right and won't admit it even if I'm wrong. As I'm praying the prayer, is this in the spirit what God hears? Woo! That's a powerful deal. Lead us not into temptation. I can and will do that all by myself. Very successfully, I'll also continue in the temptation until I fall on my face. But deliver us from evil, even though I speak it towards others and invite it into my life as many ways as possible. For what I want is my kingdom and glory forever. I am committed to it, and I would rather you change God so I can do what I want, Lord, because it's simply not fair. Woo! As I wrote that, and the Spirit of God kind of showed me that. Is that what God hears from my spirit man? You see what I'm saying? Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Your kingdom come and your will's going to be done on earth as it is in heaven. From my spirit man, over my family, over my children. Forgive everybody their trespasses. I forgive them all, Lord, and that now you can forgive me. That's why I'm forgiven in the world today, because I forgive my trespasses for anybody else. God forgave me because I was willing to forgive everybody, especially myself. And there's a place that you get powered up in all of the Word of God that you'll never go back. I fall around and stumble and mess it up. Yes. But am I ever going to stop loving God and know that He's right? Absolutely not. No matter how much the world tries to take its turn. Woo! I love that. For what I want is my kingdom, God, and glory forever. And I'm committed to it. We do that, don't we? Boy, that's a hard word. Everybody's going to be okay with this, right? We can leave it. We're going to get powered up, though, okay? All right, the Word. I want us to go to John 1:1. So we talked a little bit about, I'm going to try to pull all this together. We talked about worshiping in spirit and truth. We talked about what my prayer should be like. Close that just for a minute, babe. I'm going to go back into this prayer. I started getting with Carrie, and I say, Father God, I come to you in Jesus' name. And I learned to pray in Jesus' name. And I think everybody goes, why would you start your prayer like that every time? Because I need to line up with the Spirit. Because when I just start saying, Father God, and you hear people pray to God, I see it on, you know, the first thing I do when people are praying to God, whatever spirit thereof, that is their God. Whatever they worship is their God. God, I come to you. I haven't identified the blood of my Savior. We sing that song, the blood of Jesus is enough. If I want to enter the throne room of God, I pray, Lord, I come to you in Jesus' name. And when it comes out of my heart, I know I've separated because I can't speak that name and stay dirty with it. I can't lie into that name. I can't. Some people might be able to, but I can't. That's a true serum, guys, for me. Once I say I come to you in Jesus' name, and my wife, and I'm going to give you an example of prayer. I told you to be practical because I want to help you. Father God, we come to you in Jesus' name. God, I love you, Lord. I praise you. I thank you for my family, my home, my children, my life. I thank you that you restored and redeemed me. I'm saying hallowed be your name. And your kingdom will come into my life and my family as you promised it, God. You see what I'm saying? Forgive me of who I fail. Then I pray for favor, protection, and wisdom over my children, my wife, every day. You know, I don't get more specific than that. I want God's favor, God's protection, and God's wisdom over Carrie and I and my family, and that's how we pray. Because you know what? I don't always know what those things are. I would rather, instead of me deciding what God's wisdom is over my children, that they hear it straight from God. I would rather them be protected God's way because they may need a trial someday. Can I release them? I'm going to stop there because that one's going to get me. It's hard for me to let them go fight their own battle because they may have to go through some trials. But I have to trust that God's got them. He's shown me that He does. Okay. The Word. We're going to go to John 1:1, and we'll get through this. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, and the Word was God. Okay, so we already know if this is true, well, let's go on down, babe. Keep that in mind. Hebrews 4:12, I want to go to this. Hebrews 4:12. For the Word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to even the division of the soul and spirit and of joints and marrow, and is discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. When I read this, it exposes me to me. You read the Word. It is the discerner of the thoughts and intents of my heart. Here's your truth serum. Here's the lie detector test for me. When I get in this, it starts to let me look at myself. And then what I can do is, that's not good. I'm going to give that to you, Lord, and empty myself of that. But when I do, the world wants to fill up that spot. and I better take more of this in because it leaves a void. When you empty yourself of all your flesh, there's a void, guys. If you haven't experienced that, I experienced that last week because I came up here and spoke for an hour with power and authority and went home and I was empty, to be honest. And then God, I had to get in there real quick. I had to get in here and say, God, fill me up. Because even my own, you know, my own conviction will never, we can't touch the glory of God. We're as filthy rags to him. And I was empty. Go on to the next one, babe. And here's the key to this. It would be Hebrews 4:14 is the one I'm wanting, I think. Yeah. Sorry, are you guys getting something out of this? I need to quit because I feel like I can go till 3 if you guys want. But I want to get done, and I really could. If you guys want to stay, I'll just keep going. But, okay, so let me read to you. I may have given you the difference. Okay, leave that. That's the one we just did, right? Okay, so we're going to stop. Go ahead and put that one down. I'm going to read it. And there's a reason for that. I kept moving my word around. And the word became flesh and dwelt among us as we beheld his glory, the glory as the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Okay? So wonder what I'm telling you. We just talked about the word. This right here became flesh, and they're one and the same. This right here, I'm holding my Savior. It's a reflection of Jesus Christ. That's it. The Word became flesh and manifested itself to us. So when I get in here, I climb right in the lap of my Lord. Wow. And you know what? It's never failed. It never will fail. Okay? And then I talk about Bible-based ministry. I can go into this all day, but I'm going to tell you, Pastor Mark is a teacher. He is an apostle and a teacher. And the way we were able to grow up, and other people in this church that are here, we were being taught. I needed, you know, the fivefold ministry, evangelist, prophet, pastor, teacher, evangelist, because God gave me more of a prophet and evangelist ministry, because that's what I called to do if you look at the definitions. And we operate here in fivefold. And pastor's an apostle and a teacher. But I'll tell you what he did was all along the way, he continued to teach me how to teach my children. Now, I was getting in the Word for myself, but I had a pastor that was a teacher. And if you guys have been around him, he's been teaching us ever since. And I try very much to be a good student. And it probably, I don't know if you get this, I come in here every Sunday, and I know God's going to talk to me with expectation. Has anybody ever done that? I mean, I do it every time. I'm hoping you do that. I hope you come in here and you go, God's got something for me today. And it really doesn't matter who it is or where it's at. It's about my faith in God that will find God no matter who's standing in the pulpit. And I love the fact that I have Pastor Mark that's a teacher, but somebody go, well, my pastor's word is just not good enough. It doesn't really do anything for me. Or this guy, am I seeking God or am I seeking a man? Because if I got an appointment with God and I'm walking in faith and I show up at something to hear from God, I'll hear from God. Woo! That's good. I don't know where that came from, but that's really good. Somebody needs to tweet that. Okay, so I got into so many different things. yeah. Wow. Okay, so I want to go to, I had three different analogies I was going to give, and I'm going to stop because of where we're at in our time. The Holy Spirit would stop us, but I just feel in my spirit, man, it's time to stop. That's enough. God wants us to he wants us to worship him instead of the world. That's how we seek him. He wants us to pray in spirit and truth, which also really came from our worship scripture. And he wants us in the Word, which is the living Word of God. And I've never found it's just as living as any person in my life. This is. It's alive. And every time I read it, he gives me something new that comes from it. And it's powerful. The three analogies I gave, I don't even want to go into them because they're David and Goliath. I'll just do that one. David was seeking God so hard that when Goliath came over the mountain, I'll run at this one at you, he's asking us to get up and get empowered and be ready to fight back against what the enemy's been trying to do in our country, in our world. God's calling out men and leaders, women and leaders, people that he put on your heart to go out and change the world. He's calling us out right now. Because when David went out there and he's looking at the giant that scared everybody, David ran to the battle. There was zero hesitation because he had the faith of God so empowered his life. He had already defeated the bear and the lion, and I have in my life, and some of you have too. And you've already beaten some of these things by God's power, and he's asking us to go forward and face Goliath in our lives. Because if the next step of my life is scary, I've already beaten the bear and the lion. You see what I'm saying? And so have you. Okay? Because we beat it by the word because it's complete. And it's all of us. It represents us all. So David ran to the battle. Okay? So today, God got up. When I got up, and this week when I did this, Mark said, he said, Mark, I want you to go in there and my people be ready to go to battle just as David ran to it. They need to be filled up with me, and they can spill out who I am in the world, and life-changing salvation and victory will take place to everyone who hears my word, because it cannot come back void. But we're not preaching it out of spirit and truth, and we're not speaking it with power and authority that will set people free. Not enough. You see what I'm saying? We've got to be bold in that, and we also have to stand our ground. But we also have to get in the word and protect ourselves and our family, because they're important. Conclusion, I go to Hebrews 11:6, and then we'll pray. But with faith, you guys are going to know this one. A lot of people know this one already. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Guys, he'll reward you. The problem is the reward may not be the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. It might be the love of my sons and my daughter might be my reward. And a legacy that can go on from generation to generation is my proclamation in life. Carrie and I were called to do one thing, and I'm going to give you that testimony, to establish our children and their children beyond and the next and next and next generation, that they can go forward with life-changing, godly relationships and families in Jesus' name. And if we have to quit everything that her and I do for that, just fine with me. If that's the one thing that I get to do in life, praise God. Because here's the deal. I can't fight those battles for them. They can. Okay, Romans 8:38 and 39. Then I promise this will be the last one. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. I know that. It took me a while. What if this gets exposed to my... What if someone found this out about me? Someone needs to hear this. Being transparent is sometimes a good thing. Hitting rock bottom is sometimes a really good thing. I don't have to pick it back up because it's under the blood. I'm going to pray, and we're going to have a salvation call again. My heart wells up. I fell in love with people instead of myself. I had a dream one time, and I found God. And I was going through life, and I'm going through life, and someone needs to hear this too. I had found God, and I was going through life going, God, I got it figured out real now. Can I just go home? I'm ready. Some of you have been there. I'm just ready to go home, Lord, now that I figured it out for myself. And as I kept getting more and more God, you know what I found out? I'm going through this hallway in my dream, and over here is this nasty, dirty world. And I look, and to my left, there's an exit sign every 20 feet. There's an exit sign, and every one of those were heaven. Woo! And I'm running in this deal, and it's a circle, like the world. And as I'm running in this dream, I'm going, I can just exit right now. I can just exit right now, God. I know salvation. I know who you are. I'm ready to go home. I'm ready to go home. And it was all about me. And I was saying, I. And I was saying, I. And then I look, behind me was my son, and he was on my back. And he goes, now, wait a minute, Mark, you got to leave Luke here if you're going to exit. I'm not ready for that, God. the people that I loved, showed me my whole family, showed the people behind me that they're still in this world. And all of a sudden I had to decide whether or not I'm staying here and fighting this battle. And it had nothing to do with me wanting to die. That's not it. I'm saying I was just simply ready to go to heaven. But all of a sudden, I fell in love with my family, and I fell in love with all the people that are here. And God said, Mark, there's a great work to do. It's a great commission that I've called you to. People need salvation and victory. And I would never exit now until he wants me to go home. You see what I'm saying? It's not about me wanting to die or going anything. I just want you guys to hear that. And here's the deal. If you've messed it up, it's not too late. It's never too late. God's a redeemer and restorer. Okay, we're going to pray. I want everybody, if you would you just dim the lights? I want to pray this prayer of salvation right quick. And I want everybody to pray this with me. And somebody listening at home is going to hear this too. And so repeat this with me. Even if you're saved, I want you to repeat this prayer with me. Say, Lord Jesus, I need you in my life. I believe you are the Son of God. You died on the cross for me. And you rose again on the third day. Please forgive me of my sins and create a clean heart in me. Renew my spirit so I can hear your voice. I accept you as my Savior. You are my Lord. Thank you for saving me. Amen. If that's the first time you've prayed that prayer, the Bible tells us, call upon the name of the Lord and you'll be saved. The next step of obedience would be to follow the Lord in water baptism. And if you're listening out there, and I believe somebody is, come next week and we can fill it up. Or any of us that are here. Okay? Okay, let's pray. Father God, I come to you, Lord, in Jesus' name. God, I'm so thankful, Lord, well, for who you are in my life. Father, I just again repent of every area that I struggle, God, and that I fall short. And God, I know you, Lord. I know you're my Savior today. You protect your people today. Father, I pray that this word goes forth and I come against any plan or scheme of the enemy that tries to steal this word in Jesus' name, that it cannot come back void. And God, I pray victory and salvation over your people today. God, I pray that we would all stand up and just start taking steps toward you. It's not too much. Just take one little piece at a time is what God would say today. Father, I thank you for your word. I thank you for a great week to come. I thank you for the year 2021 is where you're taking back all the ground times 10. In Jesus' name, God, we stand upon it. And God, if it's the coming of you this year, so be it. Father, we love you and we praise you, and I thank you for today. God, I thank you for Pastor Mark and Jay to give me the authority to stand here and speak. And Father, heal them and continue to just bless this ministry in every way. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, give the Lord a hand clap. It's a good word. You can hug somebody, and we are finished for the day. Pastor Mark, hopefully, be back next week, and I'm ready to get some teaching. Amen. I'm needing some teaching. It's good.